Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
We've got a process that we're going through that you can call discipleship. It's wonderful to get people in the door, but that only starts what God is after. His whole purpose is to make us like Him. Well, we don't start out that way. We start out exactly the opposite, and He's going to have to kind of give us a new heart that even wants that and is willing to let Him do whatever it takes to bring that about. Everybody here willing for that? Yeah. God has to work in our will, doesn't He? He's got a job on His hands changing somebody like me to be more like Him. Give me a break. You think maybe there's a need for this here? That just because we've heard this before, we're still in the race. We're still in school. And we need God to do something in our lives, to intervene in our lives in a way that brings us face to face with what we really are in the mirror. And then say, oh God, help me. But aren't you glad that when He works on us, it's never with a spirit of condemnation? How is that possible? We don't do that. If we see a fault in somebody, we immediately feel up here and them down there, and we're going to make sure they know about it somehow. Oh God, change us. Aren't you glad God doesn't treat you the way you treat the people in your life? Husbands, wives, children, parents, everybody else in your life, we need God's mercy to fill us and to change us so that we are more like Him. Well, guess what? This is something we've said many times. In order for God to actually bring about that kind of change, He's going to have to lead us through circumstances that, first of all, bring out our need. Because if we don't know we have a need, how can we go to Him and say, oh God, I need you? So when He does that, don't look in the mirror and say, oh God, no. You complain or give up in despair and say, oh, look what He's showing me. I'm so helpless. I'm so bad. I'll never change. It's just me. God, help us to realize the heart that's behind it. And again, whatever we're talking about when we talk about Him, are we not talking about what He desires from us when we interact with each other? You know, when Jesus was teaching His disciples, He was training them and teaching them things they didn't know. I mean, think of their background: fishermen, tax collectors, one revolutionary, guerrilla fighter, a whole bunch of different kinds of people. And here's Jesus starting there. Think of what He started with us. Starting there and then beginning to teach them the truths of the kingdom of God. And always it was to bring them to a place where, oh God, I have no hope except to lift my heart to You and say, oh God, do in me what I cannot do. But the point is, Jesus didn't get them off in a classroom somewhere, put them through what we call an educational course, and then hand them a diploma and say, go. It was a school of life. And that's what He does with us. If we have a need, well, I say if we have a need, we all are filled with needs in this area, but when God deals with those needs, how does He usually do it? Yeah, well, trials, that's right. But in this case, what kind of a trial? If you're talking about loving each other, He's going to put you in connection with somebody you don't even like, let alone love. And that's where we're going to have to understand and be in such contact with Him and have our hearts so attuned to what he is seeking to do in our lives, that we're willing to come to him and say, oh God, I recognize this is not just somebody I need to get out of my life and stay away from. I need this relationship to be what you want it to be. Even if they don't change and somehow meet my expectations, I need to have the heart that you have toward me. How many of you meet God's expectations? And yet he doesn't make that a condition. That's one of the things that we don't understand, that God's love does not have conditions. It's not attached to performance. Now, he may be displeased or unhappy and all of that, but nothing touches the underlying principle of his love and his mercy that he has toward us. And the devil will try to twist that. And one of the ways, of course, that he twists it with many of us is as we become aware of our shortcomings, how does that make you feel towards him? I mean, does that give you a confidence that you can just come right into his presence? I would say naturally it doesn't, does it? We all think we got to fix ourselves or clean ourselves up a little bit anyway. And like the song, what, Mess Around Another Day? And put it off, and okay, now maybe I can sneak in there and maybe he'll accept me. When the reality is, we can walk in there the day we have a need. Now, we don't walk in there and say, Lord, just accept me like I am. That's not love either. Love just doesn't accept us the way we are. It doesn't approve of us the way we are. But it doesn't stop loving. It doesn't stop caring. Think of all the people that people have been pointing out for centuries that Jesus dealt with. The worst of the worst. The most unlikely people in all the region. And yet Jesus was reaching out to them, showing them their need. The woman at the well certainly comes to mind. He didn't hold anything back about her need. But yet she's sitting there, what's going on here? He's telling me everything, but I don't feel rejection. I don't feel like he's talking down to me and saying, what's the matter with you? Straighten up and fly right, and then we'll talk. This is somebody who loves me. You know, we just sang the song, and we better understand that. He loves me where I am. Doesn't mean he's going to leave me there. It means he loves me enough to help me to get out of where I am. But I don't have to qualify myself to get his help. Where does your qualification come from to be able to go into the throne room? Where does it come from? What qualifies somebody like you and me, as bad as we mess up sometimes, to walk into the very throne room of God? What is it? The blood of Christ. That's it. And what was it that motivated him to provide that? You're talking about the ultimate demonstration of what love means. It's the ultimate opposite of selfishness. It was, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because I care about them. That's what love is. It's love wants to reach out and embrace. And just think about our relationships, even in the home. You know, many times the Lord will put us, and I'm not talking about my house or anybody's house in particular, but I'm just saying the closest relationships many times are the ones that the Lord will bring out all the stuff that's in us that's selfish and critical and whatever our nature is. Nobody here knows what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, and he's going to bring that out. And your kids are going to drive you crazy sometimes. I mentioned this last time we talked about this, and I thought it was like the other week or something. It was January the last time we talked about God's love. But anyway, I'll just mention this briefly. I can't ever remember my parents disciplining me and my not having this sense that it was done out of love. I never felt condemned. I never felt that they were angry with me and taking it out and, you know, straighten up. You're messing with me. You're making my day miserable. Just go away. You know, hide in your room and get away from me. I don't even want to be around you. It wasn't that spirit at all. It was always with a, I can't let you get away with this because I know it's bad for you. I know it. I know where that road goes, and I love you enough to stop you. And I understand where it comes from because I'm made of the same stuff. There's not one of us that can look at somebody else and interact with them and see their faults that has any right to point a finger and say, what's wrong with you? Go look in the mirror. One way or another, you're the same way. We need the Lord, don't we? And I feel like the Lord's burden is to just to remind us of this simple truth, this simple principle. I don't know how long this is I'm going to be, but I couldn't get away from it. I would say, well, Lord, I don't have this organized. I don't know. Is this really you? And then something else would happen, and something else would happen, and a thought would come and say, all right, this must be what we need. That doesn't matter if we've heard it. God wants, do you think God wants to be with us this morning, for starters? But do you think when people come in here, what is it that they need to see? Just a friendly bunch of people, or do they need to see Him? Well, if they're going to see Him, He's going to have to be in, not just in us, but through us, so that our relationships, our attitudes, our deeds, our everything reflects that Spirit and not what we were born with. And that's what the Lord's wanting to clean up. And I guess I started to say a while ago, if God's going to change those things, and we are being changed into His image, meaning we're not there, we got a lot of work. He's got a lot of work. But if He's going to do that, He is going to have to put you with somebody that you don't like, that rubs you the wrong way, and teach you how to act and react. Now, it's wonderful when He can take two people that rub each other the wrong way and work in both of them and bring out harmony. That's wonderful. But what happens if He doesn't fix the other person? First place, it's not your job to fix them. Jesus said, love your enemies. You've got to be kidding. Well, He did. He died for all, didn't He? There was both thieves on the cross. There He was dying for them. Both of them were mocking Him at the beginning. Somewhere along the line, one of them woke up and started paying attention and realized who this really was. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, after the life you lived, you got to be kidding me. No, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the heart that God wants us to have towards other people.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.